Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for church. Thanks that we can gather here now. Thank you for giving us your word. And thank you that through it we can know you. Think of this part of your word, this account of this conversation between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And we pray, Lord, that despite the heat, you would be with us. We pray, Lord, you would reveal yourself. For those of us who know you, give us greater confidence in you. And for those of us who are asking questions and don't know you or who the real true God is or what religion, is the right one or wrong one, whatever, we pray, Lord, you would start to make that clear today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we had the Bible reading a minute ago, and in that we heard a conversation which is recorded between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And we kind of pick up a little bit in that account that actually for Jesus and this Samaritan woman, there is a massive social, racial and ethnic divide. So she is a Samaritan and he is a Jew. She is a woman and he is a man. But key for our topic today is that Jews worshipped in their temple in Jerusalem and Samaritans worshipped on their mountain in Samaria. We heard the woman say, "We Samaritans worship on this mountain, so why do you Jews insist that we worship in your temple in Jerusalem?" She's saying to Jesus, "Hey, you've got your way of worshipping God, I've got my way of worshipping God, so why do you insist that I worship God your way? You know, what makes your way right and my way wrong?" And maybe she's expressing to Jesus what a lot of people feel today, that aren't all religions equally true and equally valid. So we say, you know, I have my religion, you have your religion, I have my view of God, you have your view of God. And can't we just all accept them as equally true and valid, and that way we can just all get along? And why do we need to impose our views on anyone else? Okay, so that is the question, that's what we're looking at today. And my talk's going to have three parts. The first part we're going to look at, well, why we want all religions to be equally true and valid. Second, we're going to look at, well, why can't all religions be equally true and valid? And then finally, we're going to ask the question, well, how can I know who the one true God is? So first, why we want all religions to be equally true and valid? And I've got two short reasons. And the first one is that it shows tolerance for different people's points of view. So years ago, one of my favourite bands was Under Oath. And it just so happened that they were playing last night at the Enmore Theatre. And I went with a bunch of mates. This is why my voice is a bit scratchy today. And but when we bought tickets, I asked Tara, my wife, if she would like to come to Under Oath. And she just looked at me and just kind of rolled her eyes, right? Because she knows that I know that the glorious heavy breakdowns and the double kick drumming and the screaming of Under Oath is just not her cup of tea. There is no way in the world she would want to come to see Under Oath. But it goes both ways, doesn't it? Because last year, driving in America, we listened to the full greatest hits album of Bon Jovi. That was actually Tara's sister's choice, and Living on a Prayer, great song. Everyone get into that, right? But this was then followed by a playlist of 21 of the chart-topping number ones from everyone's favourite country and western heartthrob, Keith Urban. Oh. And I'm sorry if you're a fan of Keith or country music, but it's just not my cup of tea. But I was told, informed kindly by the rest of the car, the majority, that it was appropriate to listen to country music while driving country America. And I said, well, we can listen to one, but nah. Yeah, true, but he's the man. Anyway, so that's how a relationship works, right? When it comes to music, I have my view, you have your view. It's not like yours is superior, mine's inferior, yours is right, mine is wrong. They're just different. And if sometimes we just need to tolerate each other's different point of view. And many of us want to say the same about religion. Right? Everyone has a different point of view. It's not like mine's inferior or superior. or mine's right and yours is wrong. They're just different. And if we can just learn to get along and tolerate each other, then we can just accept each other and not try and impose our views on others. And the payoff then is this. If we can tolerate each other, especially on this area of religion, that means we can all live in the same houses, work in the same workplaces, go to the same schools together, and we can be happy together. Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, we can live in the same suburbs, eat at the same takeaway shops, swim at the same beaches. We're not blowing each other up or rioting in the streets. We can learn to live and benefit from each other's different diverse points of view. And I think this is something that Aussies hold dearly. This is a value, you know, that we've learned over the years. We've got diversity and we want to learn to appreciate and accept each other's diversity. And so when the religious person then comes along and says, hey, my way is the one way. There is one true religion and it's my one. It just sounds so narrow-minded, bigoted and intolerant. So that's the first reason why we want all religions to be equally true and valid, because it shows tolerance for other people's points of view. Second reason why we want them to be equally true and valid is because on one level, they all look like different ways to the same God. Okay, so there's a famous Indian parable about the elephant and the blind men. And it goes like this. There is an elephant in the room and a bunch of blind men. And one of the blind men grabs the elephant's tail and goes, hey, I know what this is. It's a rope. Another one of the blind men grabs the elephant's leg and goes, oh, I know what this is. It's a tree trunk. Another one grabs the elephant's trunk and says, I know what this is. It's a hose. But everyone else can see it's an elephant. Why? Well, they can see what these blind men can't. And so the link is here. Sorry. When these guys are saying that, they think it's a hose, it's a rope, it's a tree trunk, but in the end it's just an elephant. And these guys are just describing what they can in their own different ways. And here's the connection for us. We want to say that all religions are the same, because in the end we're describing what we can't really see in our own different ways. The parable, though, it's saying more than that, right? Because in it all the men are blind. They can't see. And so what it's saying is that every religion is blind. We are all blind. And we are blinded by our culture or our upbringing or our background. And so the way it kind of plays out is this. If you're born in Thailand, you're a Buddhist. If you're born in the Middle East, you're a Muslim. If you're born in India, you're a Hindu. If you're born in Australia, traditionally you're a Christian. And so then we all each describe God in our own different ways. Why? Because we've been blinded by our culture, our background and our upbringing. And so what we're doing is all religions can be equally true and valid, because in the end we're describing the one same thing using our own different words and ideas and concepts based on our background and our upbringing and our culture. That's how that one works. But I realise some of us might be thinking, nah, I don't agree with that. And so we need to move to the next point, and that is, well, why can't all religions be equally true and valid? And again, I've got two short reasons. The first one is, well, it's actually a very patronising and arrogant thing to say. See, in that elephant and blind man story, what's wrong with it? Well, we've got a room full of blind men touching an elephant, thinking that it's a hose, a rope, a tree trunk, whilst everyone else knows it's an elephant. Why? Because they can see what these blind men can't. And so it's saying, this story, that every religion is in the world is blind, like blind men trying to describe an elephant. But everyone else in the world is so enlightened and so wise, and in the end, not blind, that they can actually see that this thing is an elephant, that this thing is just the one same God that all these religions are worshipping. And if I believe that, then what it means is I can then go to the Muslim and say, hey, you Muslims are worshipping the same God as the Christians. And the Muslim would say to me, no, I'm not. And then I would say to the Muslim, yeah, you are. Just trust me. I know your religion better than you. I can see what you're trying to do and describe. I can see in the end you're worshipping the one same God. And then I could go to the Buddhist and say, hey, you Buddhists are worshipping the same God as the Hindus. And the Buddhist would say, no, I'm not. And I'd say, sorry, man, yeah, you are. Just trust me. I know your religion better than you. I can see what you can't see. In the end, they're all the same. You're all worshipping the one same God. Which none of us would do that, right? I'd never do that. Such an arrogant and patronizing thing to do and say. And actually, when we do that, when we say one God, many gods, it's all the same. Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, it's all the same. Reincarnation, resurrection, it's all the same. What we're doing then is we're actually just talking about the vague idea of a God. The loose kind of concept of a God, but not actually talking about a real, personable, definable God and who he is. So maybe on a superficial level, we want to argue that all religions are the same because they kind of look and feel the same. They believe in a God of gods. They pray. They want to do good things. But when you actually get to know them, they are fundamentally very, very, very different. The God of the Bible is very, very different to Allah of the Quran. Which brings us to the second reason why they can't all be equally true and valid. And that is because all religions make claims to exclusive truth, to know the exclusive truth. So this is a depiction of Gautama Buddha. I don't know how to say the name, but that's his name, Gautama Buddha. He is the founder of Buddhism. And he was born in India and raised a Hindu. He was following the Hindu faith until he was so moved by the innate suffering of humanity in the world that he rejected two of the foundational truths of Hinduism. Couldn't believe them anymore. They just did not fit his worldview. He rejected them, and then he famously went and meditated all alone for an extended time under the Bodhi tree until he reached enlightenment and discovered the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, and the removal of desire to end suffering. And Buddhism was formed. That forms the foundational truths of Buddhism. And right there we have an example of why they can't all be equally true and valid. Because they all make exclusive claims to the truth. Belief in one requires rejection of the other. Gautama Buddha, rejecting Hinduism. Two of the foundational truths, I cannot believe it does not fit, found Buddhism based on what he was enlightened. Similarly, Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's an exclusive claim. He's saying there's just one way, one truth, one life. And it is not found in Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam or any other religion or cult or New Age self-constructed spirituality. There's just one way, one truth, one life, and it is found in me, Jesus is saying. So, what do we do this now? If all religions aren't the same, and they can't all be equally true and valid, because they negate each other, well, how can we then know who the one true God is? Well, if we go back to the elephant story, the problem is, it's saying that we're all just blindly fumbling around. We can't know. But what if in the story the elephant could talk and say, hey, I'm an elephant? And then everyone would know, right? And that is the Christian claim. We can know because this God speaks to us and he has spoken to us most clearly, most obviously in his son Jesus Christ by sending him to us to tell us all about God and who he is. In that story between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, do you notice the woman, she seems to like she's kind of getting frustrated. Your temple, my mountain, your God, my God. In the end, who cares? What's the difference? What does it matter? How can we know what the truth is? But then she actually says, at the end of the conversation, I know that the Messiah, that the Christ is coming. And when he comes, then I will know the truth. Then we will all know the truth, she says. And then Jesus says to her, I am that person. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am here, and now you can know the truth about God. But it's puts us in that position. Well, then how do we know Jesus is telling the truth? If I was to say to you, 1 + 1 = 2, true or false? True. What about today is too hot? True or false? True. All right. Anyway, so, easy. We can say that. We can believe that to be true easily, publicly verify. We can get our calculators out if we really need to. 1 + 1 = 2. It's too hot. We're just melting here, okay? We can believe that to be true, publicly verifiable. But what if I was to say to you, last night I dreamt about a talking grasshopper? True or false? Last night an angel appeared to me and told me to get a haircut. True or false? Last night, God appeared to me and said that he loves under oath. True or false? But you don't really know, right? Because what I've just done there, I've just made a bunch of private, personal claims. There's no evidence, there's no witnesses. You can't back it up. There's no publicly verifiable way to know it's true. Could be true. Who knows? Only I know. And I think this is what the thing that religion, the question about religion is so hard, because it seems like a private, personal thing. I speak to God, God speaks to me. So how can we know? How can we verify it? But this is the thing. Unlike any other religion in the world, Christianity is not based on a private, personal claim. It's based on a publicly verifiable claim. And that is that God sent his son, Jesus, into our world, walked this earth 2,000 years ago, who's a male, Palestinian Jew, spoke Aramaic and Greek. He said things, he did things, he died, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And really, that is it, right? The resurrection. That is kind of where it all kind of stands or falls. Jesus can make all these claims about himself, but you can't fudge the resurrection. It either happened or it didn't. But the resurrection, there were hundreds of eyewitnesses, 500 eyewitnesses, all recorded by multiple independent sources, documented accurately and consistently, preserved through the years for us today, backed up by Jewish, Greek, Roman, Christian and non-Christian historians. And then following Jesus' death and resurrection, 11 out of 12 of his disciples, his closest followers, then willingly were killed. They were, for talking about Jesus, they were beheaded, they were stoned, they were burned, they were crucified, sacrificed, crucified upside down. And then following them, you had hundreds more martyred in attempts to silence this story about Jesus and to stop this spread of this movement of his followers, which ultimately failed. In fact, it resulted in the explosion of the Christian church, more believing in this. And that explanation that Jesus really did die and then rise again, it makes the most sense of that early history and then the 2,000 years of our world history since. And at the centre of it all, at the centre of Christianity, is this publicly verifiable life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the claims that he make about himself. And we are all free to investigate it, to find the truth for ourselves, to know the truth about God. So religion, it's a hard one to know the truth. But Jesus says, if I show up and if I can tell you about God and if I die for you and if I rise again, that is a publicly verifiable claim. You can put me and my words to the test. You can see it. And then you can report it and you can pass it on to your children's children so that you can know the truth. let's wrap up. You know, I think deep down we want everyone to be able to worship God and believe in their own thing, in their own way, and everyone just to get along and be accepted. I think we want that to be true, but today we've seen that that can't be true. Because if God is more than just an idea or a concept, if he is real and personable, then the facts do matter. This morning we met Tim and Av. Right? If I were to say to you, hey, I know Tim and Av, they're married, they've got a little girl, Ella, they're hoping to go back to Zambia soon. You'd all say, yeah, Punch, you know Tim and Av. But I would say, but I know the real Tim and Av. They're actually Russian astronauts, and when they disappear, they're heading to the moon in a bit. Right? You'd all be like, no, I don't think you actually know Tim and Av at all, Punch. Which is true, right? Because when it comes to real people, the facts do matter. And every major world religion agrees. When it comes to God, the facts do matter. And in Christianity, God is so real and so personal and so loving that he would send Jesus, his son, into this world so that we could know him and have a relationship with him. And Jesus' death and resurrection is the way into that relationship. Because in his death, he bore our sin upon himself to give us that forgiveness that we need to bridge that divide between us and God so that we can have that relationship with him through Jesus. That is the central message of Christianity. It all comes down to that. But the great strength of Christianity, our source of confidence and assurance in it, is that that is a publicly verifiable event. It's not a personal epiphany or a personal private revelation, a moment of enlightenment. It is a publicly verifiable event. Not a fairy tale, not a bedtime story, but a rational, reasonable, evidence-based historical truth, which we can all investigate. We can all find the truth for ourselves. And when we do look into it, Jesus actually calls us to make a response to him. If he is the God who made us, the God who then came to us so that we can know him, and then the God who died for us so we can have a relationship with him, then what are we going to do with that? What will you do with that? Do you believe it? Do you want to have a relationship with this God? And if your answer is either yes or no, what are the consequences of that? I'm going to finish and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you aren't a force out there in the universe, but you are real, you are personal, and that you want to be known, and you made yourself known by sending your son Jesus. And we thank you that ultimately we can know that you are a good and loving God, because Jesus willingly came and then willingly died so that we can have a relationship with you. But I want to pray for people this morning who aren't sure, who are still asking these questions. How do I know which religion? How do I know which God? I pray that you would please make it clear and motivate us to investigate the evidence, to look into other religions, to look into the truths behind Christianity, and to make a decision. And Father, for those of us who do know you and who have a relationship with you, we want to ask this morning that you would grow our confidence in it, that we can be firm in our faith, know that you are the one true God, and that is based on a person and a life and a death and a resurrection which we can point to and which we can put our confidence in. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.